Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to change your domain name, should you change your domain name, risks changing your domain name, and benefits of changing your domain name.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
So a lot of people have been asking me recently why Close changed from close.io to close.com, why we purchased that domain name and what the benefits were that we were looking for. I was surprised. I always felt like people kind of just intuitively know, but apparently this is still a really big, interesting topic. And then we have talked about over the last couple of weeks multiple times about kind of how the migration to the new domain has gone for us. And we've asked you for advice. So I felt like we might give people some like do's and don'ts quickly for those that are in this situation. So I'll start and tell people kind of the core reasons why we bought the domain and the benefits and risks. And then I'll throw over to you some like best practices on what to keep in mind when you change your domain name. Especially when it pertains to not losing all your SEO juice and all your organic traffic. Does that sound cool?
Sounds great.
All right. So for us, one of the biggest questions people ask me has been, did you buy close.com because it's going to bring you millions of more kind of traffic? And the answer to that question has always been no, right? I'm sure there might be a domain name that you could purchase that you could track that has a ton of traffic and has relevant traffic to your product or service, right? And then you purchasing that new domain name is an actual growth strategy or a distribution or demand strategy. But that was not the case for us. We didn't think that close.com was getting a lot of like relevant traffic. The reasons that we bought it were more branding and positioning and more kind of competitive securing than anything else. So a number of things. When we launched in January 2013, we wanted close.com as our primary home and domain for our brand and product from the get-go. We just couldn't buy it because somebody else owned it that wasn't interested in selling. So we had to settle to the .io name. And then we always refer to ourselves as close.io publicly because we wanted to tell people how to find us and not just what the name is, right? If we had said close, people would have not known where to go. They probably would have typed in close.com. And then over the years, we just knew that we wanted to have that domain, A, because we felt like it communicated, especially now, much better to our customer base that we have kind of grown up as a business. And we're not a startup anymore. We're a legitimate, fairly large company with a large customer base. And so the .io always felt, we felt like we'd outgrown it from a branding perspective and from a positioning and signaling perspective. It was just communicating to people that were coming to our site to check it out that we were a fairly young upstart startup, early stage, versus the .com is communicating that this is a much more kind of matured business. So that was one reason we wanted it. The other reason was that our customers have always referred to us as close. So we just wanted to own kind of all the assets out there from a branding perspective that associate with close. And then last but not least, we didn't want a competitor to purchase it, right? We didn't want any competitor to purchase close.com and launch some product that they called close. Close is not a name that we could like protect in this space. So we didn't want somebody to come in and kind of use all the hard work that we have put in to build a brand and snatch a really killer domain from us and then take a lot of the shine and the branding from us to sell some other competitive product. So those were kind of the core reasons we wanted to purchase the domain. And that's, you know, what led us to buying the domain earlier this year and transitioning to the new home for the brand earlier this year. Now, changing your domain is a big headache. There's a lot of risk, especially if your company has been, and your domain has been around for a long time and you're getting a lot of traffic from Google and a lot of people know that domain. So the migration is quite a complicated process and you have to like, you know, make sure that you think through that process really carefully and you don't really mess up anything. And that's the second part of today's episode, which I wanted to throw over to you because you are the man when it comes to, you know, SEO. And also you've seen so many and helped so many companies with changing their domain names and seen it all the mistakes, all the things that people should avoid. So from your perspective, just from a technical and from an SEO perspective, when you migrate a domain, what are the core tips that you give founders and startups on what to keep in mind and what to get right?
Yeah, the first thing is, you know, make sure you have really good reasons like Steli did that are business reasons to do it. Because particularly when it comes to search traffic, it can be really tricky to make sure you get back to the levels you were at. The main reason is that historically, when domains are changed in that way, even when you do all the right things like 301 redirects and a bunch of best practices that are out there, Google's going to take a while to give you your traffic back. And the funny thing is, and this is the biggest pitfall, is that when people do domain changes, they tend to do other types of changes that are structural to their website, changing URLs and cleaning a bunch of stuff up that might have been messy. And that causes even more problems because now you're telling Google not just your domain change, but also there's a whole bunch of other pages and things that have changed. And so Google starts like, you know, Google's already going to take a while to figure that out, even if you change it on your normal domain without before the migration. And there you go. Like you got a pretty big issue where you've changed the domain and you've made other changes to your site. And so your whole property can take a dip in traffic and then it can take another dip because of the changes you had. So you're basically taking dips on dips when you do that. And so I think the biggest thing to do if you are going to do a migration is take the state that your website's in, the URL structure, the design, everything, and just copy and paste it over to the new domain and then do all your 301 directs from the old one to the new one. And then you're going to sit there. And you're going to sit there for like the common timeline is about 3 months. And the reason for that is now Google re-index your site as if it's essentially a new site. Even though you're already getting traffic and you 301 redirected, you're going to keep some of your traffic. But most folks see like a decent 30-ish plus percent drop in their traffic. And that's very normal. And then if you see a greater drop in traffic, you just need to wait. And so this 3 month period of Google just basically picking up all your old links and it's crawling your website and all this kinds of stuff is where you have the big risk when you do a migration. So you always have a dip, especially if you had obviously a lot of Google traffic. So you're basically getting a dip on Google traffic. And that's the thing to just, you know, sort of like not even be careful or anything, just be aware of. That way you can know it's coming, plan for it, and basically deal with it. Then there's other times when like you make a migration and the dip is more than the 30% that I'm saying. And again, you can't really do much about it except make sure that you're not making too many changes at once. And then you sort of go from there. Now, a lot of times, like there's just like, not even a lot of times, there's just SEO tips, period, that you can sort of look into and do that just improve your SEO no matter what. Again, a lot of those tips, I would wait till the 3 month period is over, and then I would consider making some of those changes. That being said, there's a lot of things that are more like on page SEO, like reducing the amount of load time on your website. Those are good things to do anytime. And I haven't really seen a big risk in doing those kind of things after a migration. They can be helpful because they're just making your site better from a like on page speed standpoint. So this has to do with like loading of images. And the most notorious are loading of third-party JavaScripts that tend to slow down a site.
Beautiful. Yeah, those are really good tips. And I think at the end, the few things that you said there, I want to kind of really underline this because for a lot of founders that are not super technical and that are not like SEO experts themselves, I think many of them underestimate the technical side of SEO, right? We all kind of understand writing articles with the appropriate amount of keywords and getting links to these articles and so ranking through the content perspective, but there's a technical perspective that is increasingly important. You know, how quickly does your site load? That is something that I think most founders wouldn't think about as an SEO challenge or opportunity. They would think of it as more of a user experience one, but Google does rank your site very differently if it's too slow because Google wants the internet to be super fast. So there's the technical perspective, which is going to be important when you do a domain migration, where you want to make sure that you either internally put together some expertise, or if you get advice, you get it from people that have like real technical SEO expertise versus just kind of content SEO expertise.
This is very true.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for this episode on like reasons to change, well, some at least in our mind, but also like some high level things to keep in mind. And expectations, I think people really, these numbers are not out there. And I don't think people really understand that they're going to take a dip and they're going to have to kind of weather that storm. And is that really worth it if it to them at that stage? I think that those are kind of a lot of golden nuggets to share with the audience. All right. So this is it from us for this episode. If you enjoyed it, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes and we'll hear all of you very soon.
See ya.